21st chapter and verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. You may be seated. And that word John means Jehovah is gracious. Told Zacharias that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a son. And he told him that his name was going to be John. And if you read further down in this chapter, some of the people wanted to know, why you name him John? Nobody else around here been named John. Why you didn't name him Zacharias Jr.? Because the name came from God. Name came from God. So when our theme this morning is a heavenly invitation. Heavenly invitation. During the American Revolution, General Washington had a problem, especially when they went to Valley Forge. They had a serious winter in 1777, and a lot of the soldiers quit on him. He just walked off the battlefield. And then when he went to the next big battle, he hit Yorktown, and they won that battle, but he had a problem with the soldiers quitting on him. And at the end of all the battles, he decided to give one of the soldiers a commendation. And he brought the young soldier up and he said, I want to give you a commendation for what you have done, for being a hero. And the soldier said, well, General Washington, I'm not a hero. All I did was stay and do my duty. General Washington said, let me tell you something. The greatest form of heroism is when one stays and do your duty. When one stays in the face of difficulty and do your duty. He said, these are the people that would never be named, would never go up in lights. But these are the heroes, and that's why he gave this young man this commendation. So we see in our lesson text today, we're going to talk about two people, Zacharias and Elizabeth, whose names would not go up. It's not a whole lot said about them in the Bible. But the main thing that happened to them, they stayed and they did their duty. And because they stayed and did their duty, God blessed them. God blessed them because they were people in the community. Like we studied in our Sunday school lesson, they were people that were blameless in the community. And they were people that followed the instructions of God. And because they followed the instructions of God, God blessed them. So we will use for our outline this morning, our first point is the angel's appearance, verses 11 through verse 12. And my second point is the angel's announcement, and that is verse 13 through verse 14. And my third point is the son's character, verses 15 through verse 16. When we look at our lesson text this morning, all of the men that were descendants of Aaron were priests. So we have a lot of priests that were known as the Levites, a lot of priests in the Bible. There were some 20,000 priests, and they had 24 different divisions of priests. And so they had to cast lots to see which priest once a year would go into the Holy of Holies. And see, the priests had a job to do because the priests needed to go into the holy place, the Holy of Holies, and go in there and burn the incense in the holy place. So what they would do, they would carry the coals in there, and the priest would go in there with the incense. And when he would put the incense on the coal, there would come a smoke or an aroma that would go up. And when the priest would be in there praying, because he went in there to pray for the peace of the nation of Israel. So he would go in there once a year, and see, every priest didn't get an opportunity to do this. I told you they had like 20,000, but if you were selected to do this, you were the man of the hour. That was a great honor for any priest to have to go into the Holy of Holies and take in the incense and burn the incense and have the smoke to go up and have the people waiting in the outer court waiting for the priest to come out and let you know and pray that prayer that would bring peace and bless Israel. So as we go through this time that the priest is in the Holy of Holies, and as he walk in with this situation, and you see the thing that I like about Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, like I said, they had been faithful. They had been good people. But they had a problem. They didn't have any children. And in antiquity, when you're barren, you know, that was a sign of disfavor from God. Not only was it a sign from disfavor from God, but you know, people are mean spirit. I can imagine how Elizabeth felt at the family reunions when they was passing the babies around. I can imagine how Elizabeth felt when she came to the reunions and some of them old mean folks said, "And when you gonna have a baby?" Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Folks got some mean spirits, don't they? I can imagine how they felt, and they probably told Elizabeth, "What God are you serving? You and Zacharias been praying all this time and you still don't have none. What's wrong with him? Or what's wrong with you?" You have to go through all that, and you see, despite all of this, despite all of this pressure, they were faithful. You see, sometimes in difficult times, and that people can put so much on your plate that sometimes you lose your faithfulness. You allow Satan to rent space in your head, and when Satan rent space in your head, you can lose your faithfulness because of what Satan has done to you. Be careful, because God plants the seed. But you know, there are things that'll come and take the seed away unless the seed fall on good ground. So Elizabeth has been living with this for years, being despised, being put down, going to church Sunday after Sunday, and then going there worshiping and being involved and being this pillar of the community, but knowing deep down inside she had this pain. So we see in our lesson text, as Zechariah is selected from all the 20,000 priests, as Zechariah is selected to go in and to go in with to the holies of holies and take in the incense and burn them over the coal and then come out and bless all of Israel. But we now come up to this 11th verse, and as he was going, hallelujah, church, as he was going, with the incense, and it says in that 11th verse, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." I told you, he had the incense, but an angel appeared. And you know, when the celestial come and in our lives, and we see something here that we don't normally see. So here is Zechariah standing up next to the altar, and all of a sudden, I don't know if the angel had on a shiny suit. I don't know what the angel had on, but all of a sudden, for some reason, he knew it was an angel. He knew it just wasn't a man out of order, all up in there in the Holy of Holies. He knows somebody hadn't broken in the holies of holies. For some reason, he recognized, and the Bible doesn't tell us how he recognized, but he said an angel appeared, and pay attention, because it says the angel appeared on the right side. Hallelujah. Y'all know about Hebrews chapter 3, when he said Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, say Jesus is on the right hand of God in a seat. See, that right side has some significance in it. See, I know when Satan tried to accuse me, Jesus is on the right hand of God in a seat. Oh, yeah. On the right side. He appeared, and he said he appeared on the right side. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Well, I don't blame him. I mean, you know, he got afraid, but when he saw him, he knew something was going on. He knew something wasn't right about this situation. But Zechariah was in the midst of his prayer. Now, you see, this is what happens sometimes. In the midst of our prayer. Here is Zechariah now putting on the incense, burning the incense, and the smoke is going up, and he's getting ready to go out and talk to the people. But in the midst of his prayer, an angel appeared. Hallelujah. And that's when we get to our 13th verse. It says, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now pay attention, because what prayer is the answer? He said, fear not. And he always tell you that, you know, when the angels come down, he said, fear not. He don't want you to be afraid, because he comes there to bring you some good tidings of great joy. So you should have nothing to be afraid of. But he say, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is being answered. Now, which prayer is being answered? The one that he prayed for the nation of Israel? Or the one that him and Elizabeth have been praying for all these years for a baby? Come on, church, which one? Which prayer is being answered? The angel doesn't tell him. The angel just say, fear not, Zechariah, your prayer is answered. And then in another breath, he say, your wife is going to bring forth a son. And now you may think that the prayer about them having a child is being answered, or is it the prayer about the peace of Israel that's being answered? Come on, church, but I have something for you this morning. It's both of them. Hallelujah! It's both of them, because what he's going to do, this child that she's going to have is going to bring the peace to Israel and salvation that they need, but also she's going to have a child. See, God knows how to wrap this thing up. God knows how to fix it when you can't fix it. So he's answering both of these prayers. But let me pause for a minute, because I want you to understand something, how God works. You know, Elizabeth, and I said it earlier, that she has been barren for a number of years. But see, God decided when he got ready to bring his people back to him, God said, I will create a nation. And I will create a nation out of barren women, out of people that's been despised, people that's been put down. See, God just didn't find Israel in the desert. God said, I'm going to create a people. Why women? You know, Sarah was barren. But God used her, didn't he? And you know, Sarah had been through some tough times, didn't she? You know, she was hurt. She even carried her maid in there with Abraham, and they got Ishmael, and we got in trouble. She tried to help God out, but she was barren. But God said, I'm going to come in, and I'm going to create a line of people. I'm going to create them. You know, they're going to know that it was God. And you know, Jacob and Rachel. She said, can you give me a baby? She was barren, but you see, God spoke, didn't he? And God spoke, and it brought forth Jacob, brought forth Joseph and Benjamin. See, God has a way of God say, I don't have a people out here, but I'm going to make some people. I'm going to create some people where people have been despised, people have been hurt, people have been let down, but most of all, they're going to know that it was God. They're going to know that it was God who did it. Abraham and Sarah is going to know that it was God. Jacob and Rachel is going to know that it was God. Elkanah and Hannah. Oh, you remember how Hannah was. They beat up on Hannah all the time. And she felt so bad. Peniel, how she came up to Hannah and she kept, you know, tortured her because she didn't have any children. And God said, I can use this situation. You see, when you're going through your pain and you're going through your hurt, like I told you, that's the time when God can bless you. So God blessed Hannah to bring forth Samuel. And Samuel was the prophet that went to Jesse's house and anointed David. Oh, come on now. You talking about Christmas. I want you to understand what it's all about. It's about God creating a people. for himself. And now we come up to Zacharias and Elizabeth. Barren again, hopeless, without hope. Gone through the biological clock, there is no hope. See, God's MO is that he specializes in hopeless and broken situations. God specializes when man reaches his extremities. That's God's opportunity. And that's what we have to understand. When you have done everything that you can, when you have been mocked and done away with and all this kind of stuff. See, God said, I'm going to create me a nation out of situations that was impossible. I'm going to create me a nation out of people who have cast away the cornerstones. I'm going to create a nation out of people who have thrown away and who cast people down and mocked people. But God said, these are going to be my people, and I'm going to be their God, because they are going to realize that I'm the God that brought this nation about. I'm not going to even get into Adam and Eve. And I know you wondered if you had two sons and how they got this whole nation of... I ain't going to get into that today. God is able. But now as we look at Zechariah and Elizabeth, we now come up to a Christmas. And he's going to have to do something different at Christmas. So now he's got you aware that he has the power to allow someone to go beyond their biological clock. He has the power to take a barren woman and help her to have a child. He's done it so many times, but God say, I'm going to do something different with Mary and Joseph. That's Christmas. Hold on to that. I'm going to get to that before Christmas. So hold on to that one, because see, God is working this thing. God is creating a people that's for himself. So that's what he's saying. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. He said, when this child is born, when this John child is born, he said, they're going to be joy. They're going to be rejoicing. And you can read it on down. They rejoice. There's going to be joy, because God is saying, I'm going to send forth someone who's going to be the forerunner for the Messiah. But when he is born, there's going to be joy. Oh, the people were so happy, because see, they loved Elizabeth. And when they saw her having a baby, they were just so happy that she had this baby. But they didn't realize that when Zechariah was in the holiest of holies, that two prayers was answered. Not only did he give her a boy child, but he gave her a child that would be the forerunner of the Messiah. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. He said, oh yeah, I got this. I got this. And then he said, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drinks. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Hallelujah. This child is going to be something. And he said, and he shall be great. All you remember, Jesus even said, that among all of the men that live, John the Baptist is the greatest one that has ever risen. Yes. Jesus said, this John is going to be great. When, you know, you can go by many standards in life. You can have many evaluations on your job. You can have people that think that you this, but I'm going to tell you. Pull up and look closer. What does God think about you? How do you line up with the standards that God has? Who are you in your secret moments? Who are you when no one is watching you? What's on your cell phone? What should you say? What's in your wallet? Y'all know I'm right? What's on your computer? You know, they got forensic computer folk that can go and look into your computer. And I got a news flash for you. You can't delete nothing that's ever been sent to you. I know some folks that can bring up every email you ever got. So what we're talking about here is that, you know, it's talking about here, it says, who are you great in the sight of? What does God think about you? What does God think about what you are doing? You can't impress God. You can't hide from God. No matter how many dark alleys in the corners in the dark, God sees you. And then it says, and you shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. You know, I preached that last week that you shouldn't be filled with wine. You should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's saying here. This child is a Nazarene, and that he would never have any, but it didn't tell you about how he wasn't going to have his hair cut. But that's part of the Nazarene vow. But he said this child was not going to ever drink any strong drinks or anything like that. He would be brought up. He won't be filled with wine. He won't have the wrong spirit in him. See, John the Baptist had to go out there and be a forerunner for Christ. And he couldn't go out there being a forerunner for Christ full of wine. So he said he would never have a drink of wine or any strong. In other words, the boy had to be sober. He had to have some sobriety. You see, wine has a false spirit. And you see, this child had to have the right spirit in him. So he said that he would not have, but he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Not when he joined church and be indwelled with the Spirit. But he is, you see, in the dispensation in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people in a different way. When we were looking at our Sunday school lesson today, the last thing in that lesson said, for God not to abandon us. See, in the New Testament, under the New Testament cover, God can't abandon you because the Holy Spirit is going to always be with you. God says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. There's nothing that can ever separate you from the love of God. There's no trouble. There's no angry angels. There's no situation that the stars have in heaven. There's nothing that can ever separate you from the love of God, which is through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we see here, he said, this child, we have the Holy Spirit. See, in the Old Testament, that God had to send the Holy Spirit upon you. But in the New Testament, when we come and make our confession, the Holy Spirit indwells us and then fills us and then seals us and then continue to be with us all through our life. But here, God is going to give this child the Holy Spirit while he's in his mother's womb. When John comes out, he's going to be filled with the Spirit. And then later on, you're going to see when Mary comes with Jesus and Mary comes close to Elizabeth, that this baby John is going to jump up because he got the Holy Spirit in him, and he recognized that it's about time for him to start worshiping God, even though he's in his mother's womb. Hallelujah. He decided to give praises unto God. You know. That's why we got to do something with this abortion stuff. See, this child had the Holy Spirit in the mother's womb from the day of his birth. And then it says, and many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord. This child, this John, who's going to preach repentance. He's going to go out into the wilderness and he's going to have people to repent. He's coming to prepare the way for the Lord. He's going to come, and John is going to have big crowds, but John is going to let you know, I must decrease while this Jesus is coming must increase. So John comes and preach, but I just want to back up for a minute and let you know that this thing about Zacharias, this thing about Elizabeth, I just want you to know that they could have given up. They could have had this thing stopped. They could have not trusted God because of the ways of the world and the things that people say to them. But I just want to bring this thing home to you for a minute. I just want you to understand that no matter what you're going through, God can make a way for you. I know he can make a way for you, because the God that I serve can make a river in the desert. Are you out there? He can make a river in the desert. The God that I serve can give you a job where there is no job. The God that I serve can put put people in your path and give you jobs that's never been created. The God that I serve can make a way out of no way. The God that I serve can let me tell you something. Hallelujah. We bought this church at the time of recession. They say you can't buy a church when property values is going down. I say that's a good time because we can get it at a good price. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God will bless you during the time of recessions. They say, when you can't go to the bank to get no money, we don't need to go to the bank. We went to the Baptist Foundation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God don't care nothing about man's recession. God don't care nothing about man's problems. God can bless you in spite of what you are going through. Are you out there? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you don't believe me, read on down in that first chapter. In that 37th verse of that first chapter. It says, For with God, hallelujah, it says, For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I don't care what you're going through. I say that every day. That's one of my favorite scriptures. With God. I pray for God to come across my children's paths so he can bless them. I pray for God to make a way for my family because I understand that with God, I can have divine help. People say, Pastor Shannon, you don't be sick. With God, hallelujah,